veteran's lament. So here we stand again, a year has passed. Once more our sorrow turns to millions killed. What have we learned? What do you say to us, dear soldier, from your eternal silence? Do you implore us to improve our killing efficiency, to make bigger and better bombs, condemning millions more to your sad fate? Do you cheer us on in our blindness? How many thousands have we added to your number this past year? No, I hear you plead now. I hear you cry to us across the years. Weep not for me, but those yet unborn. Go, save your own children from my fate. Go, thank me by walking away today to reject the futility, the waste, and the lie that you have repeated over and over, even as you stand. For where do your billions go, if not to ensure far more will know the hell I knew? It is too late for me. I have no voice but yours. Please speak for me. So when you stand here again, when this next year has passed, come here in certainty that you have taken some small step along a different road. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service on this Remembrance Sunday. The order of service has a number of intimations, most of which I am just going to leave you to read in your own time. But I've been asked just to highlight a couple. Next Sunday, a busy day for us next Sunday, one way or another. Following the service, the Tradecraft Christmas Fair will take place in the hall. And this year, just so you know, there is a new thing. There are some hampers going to be made up of Tradecraft goods that would make suitable Christmas presents. And so you might want to bear that in mind. Also next Sunday afternoon, Abby had to sadly reschedule her recital from last Sunday afternoon, and it's been rescheduled to next Sunday afternoon. So 3 o'clock here next Sunday afternoon, there'll be some students from Aberdeen University and Cults Academy putting on a recital. But I'm going to leave you to read everything else in your own time, as we have a lot of things to get through this morning. The real world, where loss is painful, grief hurts, fear dictates. Merciful God, quell our need to judge. The world is heavy laden with anxiety building, confusion growing, borders closing. Inclusive God, slow our impulsiveness. The world is mysterious with faith rooting, hope sparking, love blooming. God of love, may we hear your call. Stand to sing our hymn 706, For the Healing of the Nations.
Thank you.
Let's turn to God in prayer. Loving God, found in our silences and stories, made known in the sacred moments of remembering, without words, without duty, without business, but in stillness and thought. Into such a silence as this we gather, every name which you remember when we have run out, every story which you cherish when we run dry, every memory you retain when we cannot remember. There, O God, there in the silence that holds everything we cannot, we make our remembrance. From Ypres to the Somme, from Gallipoli to Megiddo, and every battle fought since, from Afghanistan to Libya and Syria, we recognise our words cannot fix this, for they cannot hold the feelings we have, but may let our silence be enough that says, enough, now is the time for peace. This is who we shall be. This is our prayer on a day of remembering. Amen. For our act of remembrance, I invite you now, if you are able, to please stand. How did you feel that morning when the call-up papers came through? Did your blood run cold or excitement take hold at the thought that your country needed you? How did you feel that morning when the time came to set off from home? Did you conquer your fears or break down in tears with the loved ones you'd soon leave alone? How did you feel that morning when you first set foot in the trench? Did you brush it aside or wish you could hide from the horror, the carnage, the stench? How did you feel that morning when they sent you over the top? Did you shout with relief or in sheer disbelief, vainly pray that this nightmare would stop? How did you feel that morning when the bullets started to fly? Did you think even that you might cheat death again, or did you know that you were going to die? How did you feel that morning as the lifeblood slipped slowly away? Did you try to make sense of these crazy events, or with one final breath try to pray? How do you feel this morning in the face of such slaughter and sorrow? Do I just stand aghast as I think of the past, or give all for a better tomorrow? They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. beyond words, beyond the battle, beyond the outcry lies silence. For what words, and what warring, and what anger has words enough? It is sacred, this silence, holy, this remembering, for only silent remembering can carry enough pain and truth together to whisper at dawn, it is enough. Please be seated.
These mist-colored mountains are whole now for me, but my home is the lowlands, and always will be. Someday I'll return to your valleys and your farms, and no longer burn to be brothers in arms. Through fields of destruction,
baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering. As the battles reach higher, and though did that hurt me so bad, in the fear and alarm,
you did not desert me, my brothers in arms. There's so many different worlds, so many different suns, and we have just one world, but we live in different ones.
Now the sun's gone to hell,
and the moon's rising high. Let me bid you farewell. Every man has to die, but it's written in the starlight. Every line on your palm,
we're fools to make war on my brothers in arms. We're fools to make war on our brothers in arms.
Thank you, Emily and Adam, for that song. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and around the church you will see many poppies, either scattered here at the front of the church, hanging on the wall there, or falling from the balcony at the back. Poppies are such a bright red colour, aren't they? They're a symbol of so much. We see the red of the poppy as the red of blood. But also, I was having a wee thought to myself yesterday about the brightness of a poppy and how the red poppies grew in fields of battle, fields that had been dark and grey and stained But up came this bright red flower, a symbol of hope, a symbol that out of darkness, brightness can come. And that was what I was hoping we could think a little bit today about as in our remembering, we are remembering the awfulness of war, wars that seem to have never stopped. I think in all the years since the world wars, there's been a couple of years when we can honestly say there has been peace across the world, where no battles have been fought. But sadly, we know today, even today, that battles are being fought across our world. If we can hang on to this idea that out of all of that darkness, some life can come, like the poppies grew again in that field. Something for us to really hang on to today in our world. And we're going to sing a little song now that I think talks a little bit about this. It's hymn 692. And it's Jesus Puts a Song into Our Hearts. And it's a little song as you go through. It talks about living in harmony and about being in family and how out of sorrow we can dance again. And I think in our thoughts about remembering the wars that have gone on and are continuing to go on, we can hope for a day when we can live in harmony as a family and instead of living in sorrow, be dancing together in joy. So we sing together 692, Jesus Puts a Song into Our Hearts.
The first reading this morning is Psalm 146, which is found on page 626 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 146, in praise of God the Saviour. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise him as long as I live. I will sing to my God all my life. Don't put your trust in human leaders. No human being can save you. When they die, they return to the dust. On that day, all their plans come to an end. Happy are those who have the God of Jacob to help them, and who depend on the Lord their God, the Creator of heaven, earth, and sea, and all that is in them. He always keeps his promises. He judges in favor of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free and gives sight to the blind. He lifts those who have fallen. He loves his righteous people. He protects the strangers who live in our land. He helps widows and orphans, but takes the wicked to their ruin. The Lord is King forever. Your God, O Zion, will reign for all time. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from James chapter 1 at verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19, which is actually on page 289. Hearing and doing. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. Whoever listens to the word but does not put it into practice is like a man who looks in a mirror and sees himself as he is. He takes a good look at himself and then goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But those who look closely into the perfect law that sets people free, who keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, they put it into practice. They will be blessed by God in what they do. Do any of you think you're religious? If you do not control your tongue, your religion is worthless, and you deceive yourselves. What God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering, and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for those readings. I'm going to sing again, and this time the hymn is printed on one of the sheets that's inside your order of service. It's entitled God Sets the Way. This hymn was written by a young friend of mine, and when we sang it a few weeks ago at the service marking the conclusion of the National Youth Assembly, I just thought it'd make a lovely hymn for this morning. It's set to the tune Eventide, so although the words may be unfamiliar, the tune will certainly be familiar. God sets the way, the seasons and the time.
Thank you.
the vales and hills along, earth is bursting into song, and the singers are the chaps who are going to die, perhaps. Oh, sing, marching men, till the valleys ring again. Give your gladness to earth's keeping, so be glad when you are sleeping. Cast away regret and rue, think what you are marching to. Little live, great pass, Jesus Christ and Barabbas were found the same day. This died, then went his way. So sing with joyful breath for why you are going to death. Teeming earth will surely store all the gladness that you pour. Earth that never doubts nor fears, earth that knows of death not tears, earth that bore with joyful ease hemlock for Socrates. Earth that blossomed and was glad, neath the cross that Jesus had, shall rejoice and blossom too when the bullet reaches you, where four men marching on the road to death sing. Pour your gladness on earth's head, so be merry, so be dead. From the hills and valleys, earth, shout back the sound of mirth, tramp of feet and lilt of song, ringing all the road along. All the music of their going, ringing, swinging, glad songs throwing. Earth will echo still when foot lies numb and voice mute. On marching men, on to the gates of death with song. Sow your gladness for earth's reaping, so you may be glad though sleeping. Strew your gladness on earth's bed, so be merry, so be dead. The war poets had a way of describing the true horrors of war that brings the pain and fear across powerfully, and often more than with more than a hint of futility. We've heard of Wilfred Owen and Siegfried Sassoon, but I wonder how many of you have heard of Charles Hamilton Sorey. I hadn't heard of him until this week when someone at the Doric Dabblers group mentioned him. Charles Hamilton Sorey was born here in Aberdeen in 1985. His father was then professor of moral philosophy at the university, and it was his father's appointment at Knightsbridge as Knightsbridge professor at Cambridge that took the family south in 1900. Charles won a scholarship to Marlborough College, where he started in 1908 when he was just 13. Charles was due to take up a scholarship at University College, Oxford, in the autumn of 1914. So with the agreement of parents and schoolmasters, he left Marlborough in December 1913 to spend a few months abroad in Germany. Plans for a last walking week in the Mosel were interrupted by declaration of war, and he and a friend were briefly arrested before making their way safely back to Britain. The morning after his arrival home, he applied for a commission and joined the Suffolk Regiment. The regiment went to France the following year in May 1915, and by September, Sorley had been made a captain. His battalion was moved to take part in the Battle of Loos, taking position at the front line on the night of the 12th of October. Sorley was killed in action the next day, aged just 20. He wrote poems about war and was regarded by many of his peers as among the best of the war poets, up there with Sassoon and Owen. And yet how many of us have heard of this man? The poem I began with was written by Charles Hamilton Sorley, Ín Ó Uaireann, an Aberdeen loon. Today is a day of remembrance, a day for reflecting on the past and paying tribute to people like Charles Hamilton Sorley, who went to war but did not come home. Young men and women who served their country in the pursuit of peace. Our reading from James this morning speaks into this season of remembrance with words of wisdom that the world could do with heeding, in a world that has several places sitting on the tipping point between war and peace. James's words about listening to God's word and putting it into practice are pertinent. Listening is something that we simply don't do enough of. I suspect if we did more listening, then there might be just fewer tipping points. The letter of James, written for the Christian communities of the diaspora outside of Palestine, is still relevant in our multicultural, secularized, and globalized world. It stresses the importance of works, in other words, the concrete practice of love. We must not merely listen to the word, we must act. James urges his readers to be quick to listen but slow to speak. The importance of listening to build and keep peace at all levels cannot be overstated. This virtue is even more necessary for those who bear responsibility. As well as being quick to listen and slow to speak, James invites us to be slow to anger. Now there's a challenge. Slow to anger, and yet there seems to be so much in the world to get angry about. And yet, what does anger actually achieve? Certainly not God's righteous purpose, according to James. Instead, we should listen to God's word and then put it into action. Faith and action are the great themes of the book of James. Faith and action go hand in hand. You cannot have faith without acting that faith out. And the action that James encourages is an action that is for the good of others. In James's time and place, that meant sharing the love of God with the orphans and widows. And we have our own places and people that need our actions and our love. The great commandment to love God and to love your neighbour cannot be achieved if we do nothing. I googled listening skills yesterday and came across the webpage of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and what a find. He has an article on listening, and in it he explains that the word Shema is translatable to hear, to listen, to understand, among other things. Oh, hear the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it shall come to pass, if you surely listen to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Those were the openings of the first and second paragraphs of the Shema, the central Jewish prayer, but also well known to us as the greatest commandment. In his article, Rabbi Sacks says this of listening. There is something profoundly spiritual about listening. It is the most effective form of conflict resolution I know. Many things can create conflict, but what sustains it is the feeling on the part of at least one of the parties that they have not been heard, that they have not been listened to. We have not heard their pain. There has been a failure of empathy. That's why the use of force, or for that matter, boycotts to resolve conflict is so profoundly self-defeating. It may suppress it for a while, but it will return, often more intense than before. Job, who had suffered unjustly, is unmoved by the arguments of his comforters. It is not that he insists on being right. What he wants is to be heard. And Rabbi Sacks goes on, listening lies at the very heart of relationship. It means that we are open to the other, that we respect him or her, that their perceptions and feelings matter to us. We give them permission to be honest, even if this means making ourselves vulnerable in doing so. A good parent listens to their child. A good employer listens to his or her workers. A good company listens to its customers or clients. A good leader listens to those he or she leads. Listening does not mean agreeing, but it does mean caring. Listening is the climate in which love and respect grow. And he then concludes with this absolute nugget of gold. Crowds are moved by great speakers, but lives are changed by great listeners. Whether between us and God or us and other people, listening is the prelude to love. If only our world leaders could do more listening. Listening to those they see as the enemy, listening instead of shouting. If only our politicians and would-be politicians in this general election season would do more listening instead of shouting. How good would it be to see them actually listen to each other instead of shout over each other in the televised debates that we'll undoubtedly watch? This season of remembrance evokes in us a mixture of emotions. Sadness at the loss of life, revisited grief at the loss of loved ones, patriotism in what our forebears fought for and our current armed forces strive to achieve, peace, fear and despair because war is a reality in so many places, that bombs and guns still cause death and destruction. How good would it be if through listening, war was no more? In a world where we are bombarded by all kinds of messages, the voice of the gospel sometimes becomes inaudible. The announcement of the good news of Jesus Christ has become inaccessible to a large part of the world. Translated into concrete acts of love, the language of faith can rediscover its power and meaning. Then the words of the gospel can touch people's hearts beyond our churches and change their lives. Imagine a world where all listened to the word of God and all were inspired to put that word into action. How good would that be? What was it the rabbi said? Lives are changed by great listeners, whether between us and God or us and other people. Listening is the prelude to love. And amen to that. We continue in our worship, this time through our offering. Let us pray. May we not dedicate this money, these coins, this offering, but ourselves, to a world that needs the dedication of folk once more who will give beyond themselves. Such a gift is the hope of the world. And may we be those people who take up, take to themselves the pattern of those before us in war and conflict, who gave and still give to reshape the world towards peace. Amen. I'm going to sing again, and Emily and Adam are going to lead us in our hymn, 10,000 Reasons. And it's just to make you aware that there are more words on here than you actually need. So if you could ignore the final bless the Lord, O my soul, and the sing like never before part, we'll be finishing after this, the second last bless the Lord, O my soul.
Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's starting the song again. Whatever past and whatever lies before me, let me singing, let the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship your holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. Reach in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. That trust is near, and my time has come. Still, my soul will be for ending. 10,000 reasons, but then forevermore. Bless the Lord, so, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
Let us pray. Loving God, may we hold together all the stories that shape this day, the words and silence, the music and the moments, the poppy red. May we hold together the longing for the future with the reality of the day and find within the best of our humanity. May we hold together the pain of some and the patriotism of others, and find between them the peace that the world does not yet understand. May we hold together Yemen and Syria, and the USA and North Korea, Europe and Russia, and where the fault lines appear, find the crossing points of peace. May we hold together our faith and our belief, that we might find the words to give the world and reshape in it hope, and that it may fully uphold its promise. In our prayer for the world, may we find ourselves singing songs of life, painting the world bright, and inviting all the possibilities now because of what others did then. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 159, Lord, for the Years. At the end of the day, at the end of the silence when we remember there is no end, let us go with words and silence that are eternal, that speak of things beyond our ken, and invite us to live into the promise of peace that gathers all those who have given everything for the sake of that promise. Go now. Go now knowing that you are loved by God always.